B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
Four o'clock hour here on Agenda Free Friday, brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com online. This is usually where we would be talking to Chris Gasper. He's running a little bit late. My sources indicate that he ran out of the house with a scarf because of the weather and realized the scarf didn't match the belt, so he had to run back in and get some sort of matching accessory going there.
Yeah, no, he had to coordinate.
Yeah, it's snowing out. He probably looked out the window. Oh, heavens, snow. I can't leave my domicile without donning an Hermes scarf. Runs back in, matches.
Well, I realized he had an Hermes scarf and probably a Hugo Boss belt, and he's like, that's gauche. That doesn't go.
Well, he forgot his earmuffs.
Right. Oh, right, yeah. Can't mess up the dude with a hat.
And the Burberry mittens. So it was a mess. So he had to make sure that all the accessories lined up and it all goes. Because Lord knows.
Jean-Claude Gasper.
So the fashionista will be in here coming up in a little bit. In the meantime, I promise, right to your calls. And so let's do it. Mike in the truck. What do you got for us on the Patriots?
Yeah, I don't know how much you guys have been hearing this lately, but I keep hearing this thing about sticking Jake Bailey back and kicking extra points and field goals. I know there aren't a lot of options for them right now, but of all the options they have, that's one I think they cannot do. The kid's too good, and if he starts costing them points, you know, it's going to get into his head, and then you ruin the kid.
So, Mike, you make a great point, and that, I think, is very adult of you. Like, there's a part of me that just wants to see it because it's so cool. Like, I don't know. When's the last time you had a guy do both? And it's just so Bill to have the versatility of having one specialist versus two, the roster spot you save, the money you save, all that stuff. He would just get off on it. And I'd be into it, too. Like, I'd like it.
I'd like to see it.
But two-point game, 36-yard field goal, 3 seconds left. I'm going to want a real field goal kicker there.
Of course, yeah, of course. I mean, it's the type of thing, though.
You know what they should start with him on, though? The 55-yard plus things.
Sure, why not?
That's what they should do, because there are teams that do that. Like, they are
bringing the punter to kick the 60-yarder.
It's not. Maybe it's been the punter in some cases, but, like, Indy, you always used to have two guys.
Yeah.
A guy that, so they'd have a kickoff guy and the long guy, and Adam would kick the other ones. Like, that I'd like to see with, because Bailey kicks off. So if he's got a, you know, 60-yarder with a second left in the second quarter, like, let's see him there.
No question. I just think it's kind of a hard thing to do in the middle of the season. Like, you'd have to build up to it. You know, you'd have to have him work on it in the off season, do it in the preseason, see what it looks like. To just drop it in the middle of the year, let alone week 14 when you're fighting for the top seed in the conference, that's a tough pull.
Scott in Vermont, what do you got for us on the Pats?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question. Do you feel like that possibly Matt Stafford might be a good fit, whether it's this next season or 2 years down the road, Brady's going to be gone? Stafford has a good arm. He's pinpoint accurate, and I don't think they'd have to pay $30 million for him.
Oh, yeah, they would. Oh, yeah, they would. That's the problem. But let me ask the standard question that I always ask in this case. If your next quarterback was Matt Stafford, would you feel they'd done well?
Yes.
No, because he now has like a back injury that's going to end his career prematurely like Romo's did. So I'm good.
Yeah, but in terms of the ability level, the talent level,
Take out the back injury.
Yeah, my answer is yes.
Yeah, if that's your next guy, you're in good shape.
Because again, you're going to put him under Bill's watch. So I think there's going to be an increase in efficiency there just by definition.
But if he's damaged goods, no.
Well, that's different.
Then take him off the table and I'm out. Also,
you might be able to get him cheaper, though, if he's damaged goods.
Maybe, but maybe. But he's going to be a free agent, which means you have to pay him top of the market. And in which case, so the whole thing here is, if I'm going to pay Matthew Stafford 30, well, bring back Brady for 25.
Right.
Like,
right.
You know, I mean, what do you... So the whole point here is to reset your roster and build behind a guy that's young that you can develop, and that's the whole thing. And if there's a bridge guy like a tweener that you can get in the $15 million year range, then I guess we could talk. But I don't know, bringing in a veteran for 30, what... They just keep Brady, even with all the problems that are going on here.
No, defeats a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah, defeats a purpose. I told you, if they were to part ways with Brady one way or the other, however it goes down, You know, you want to bring in a guy like Bridgewater to back up Stidham? I'm okay with that. Like, you know, a veteran guy who's been around that can play in a pinch and be efficient. You know, maybe not make mistakes. Like, that's the type of scenario I'd be into.
We've got Chris in the hunt with a question. Hi, Chris.
Hey, guys. So I keep hearing everybody crap on Brady's attitude, and not without good reason. You know, he's being a bitch. He's not working with the young guys, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. So what? How many does that make us – does that take us from a 14-win team down to a 12-win team or what? I mean, what does that really cost us in the end, either regular season or playoffs?
No, it's a good point. I think even if Brady had an impeccable attitude, they'd be 10-2.
Me too. I don't think it's cost him yet.
No. Has it cost you?
Might cost him this week.
It might cost you maybe down the line. It may cost you in terms of the development of your young players. Now, if you're 14-2 and go to the Super Bowl, what do you care about your young players? I get it. I mean, I think it's a fair thing to bring up, and I've said it a lot that, you know, this column of things I don't like and things I'll criticize, but on the left, do they actually add up to wins and losses, and does it matter? The Brady attitude might be in that right column of things that just, it's an aesthetic. I don't like the look of it. I think it's a bad look, and I don't think it's cost him in the record column yet. We'll see. It didn't cost him last year, but has it cost you developing a receiving core?
Maybe.
It's become kind of clear. They've had a trouble, with whether it's Brady's fault or their personnel evaluations or somewhere in between, developing a young core around Brady. They're having a hard time doing it.
I mean, Brady talks a lot about, you know, us playing to our potential, and I think that it helps prevent them from getting to their potential. That's where I think the problem is. So I say it might affect them this week. This is a team that they should be able to score on. They're at home. They're coming off a loss. It's a weak defense, or has been historically. This is a week you should be able to score. So, you know, the other two games that they've lost, they've given up points, but they've been on the road. This isn't Foxborough.
We've got Matt in the car with a Celtics thought here on an Agenda Free Friday. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Felga. Hey, Maz. Happy Friday, gentlemen. I'm going to be going to the Garden tonight. I'm going to get all lubed up in honor of our boy Tommy Touchdowns, who needs to stop bitching. Anyways, boys, I honestly think we're just one legitimate big man away from doing serious damage in the playoffs. I mean, obviously, we don't match up too well on the front court with the Sixers and Bucks right now. I just want to know, realistically, who do you guys think we can get at the trade deadline, and, like, who would you want on the team? Have a good day.
Okay, babe. The you know, Steven Adams type has been brought up. But he's an expensive sort of...
He's like $20 million a year.
Yeah, I was going to say, that ain't Aaron Baines.
No.
At five or whatever you had him for. That's a whole different... Someone's got to go. So I don't know if Steven Adams, we talked about him briefly yesterday. I mean, I take him. I like him. I like, you know, that make it tougher inside.
Sure.
And all of this. But if you got to reconnoiter your roster, you know, Jimmy, do they have like exceptions or biannual, mid-level, blah, blah, blah? They have anything left?
The move that... So no, because it's in season. You have to do all that stuff off season. The play that I think that they would make is Willie Cauley-Stein with the Warriors. $2 million.
Okay.
That's his salary plus a player option for next year. Cost-effective, big man, player who could play in this system. Willie Cauley-Stein. The Warriors are tanking. They're done. That's the move, I think.
Boom. Okay. So someone like that. I don't think they really need to add. I mean, the only question is, big picture, do you feel you need a big guy? Do you feel Carl Anthony Towns is Anthony Davis light, you know, Anthony Davis 2.0? And in which case, you have to move one of your elite young guys, Brown or Tatum, to get him. And that's sort of a big picture, organizational, directional sort of move that, you know, we can talk about almost separately. This year, I think the team is the team. I think the team's really good, and I think they're going to contend. But, if you added Carl Anthony, if today you added Carl Anthony Towns and sent Tatum or Brown out the door, do you change your opinion of the team, of what they're ultimately capable of?
Yep.
You do.
I do. Because, again, I think that that is a gaping hole that they have right now, given the big men that are in the conference. And so I felt this way. This goes all the way back to last spring. They now have a Giannis problem. So at a minimum, I'll just leave Embiid out of it. They need a big guy in the paint that can help clog up that area and make it tougher for Giannis. So they got dominated in the paint in that series on both ends of the floor. They got to address that.
I'm not as convinced of that as you. You know that. I'm just not. I mean, did Toronto, Gasol was fine, Siakam. I mean, Toronto didn't beat down Milwaukee because of the bigs that they had to combat Giannis. They didn't.
No, but it was a factor.
Nah, I mean, not really.
Toronto's long. Siakam's long. Gasol's long.
It's not like they had that singular big that protected the rim that, I mean.
No, but they can create traffic in there.
They have the best defensive player in the league in Kawhi Leonard, and Giannis got the yips from the free throw line and stopped attacking. It wasn't because they had one singular big guy.
I'm not saying it was a singular big guy. Obviously, Kawhi Leonard's a huge factor. But I'm telling you that having the big guys in there helps. It helps. Definitely helps.
You're obsessed with size.
I am.
It says something about you.
No, not really, no. Maybe I'm just familiar with it.
Mike in Marshfield. Go ahead.
Hey.
Go ahead, Michael.
What's up? His name is Taco Fall.
Okay.
Good luck with that.
That's certainly cheap, but go ahead.
Dude, he's going to develop. Come on. How many 7'5" guys? They don't grow on trees, right?
Okay, what else you got?
And then Brady, don't you think Belichick wanted to run the ball this year?
Yes.
And that kind of, you know, how many fullbacks did he lose? Tight end Gronk, gone, good blocker. Even Izzo is a good blocker, no?
No.
Well, I mean, no, maybe not. But Bill did want to run the ball better than the running it.
No question.
Of course he did.
Yeah, then franchise Trent Brown.
Yeah, I didn't think that was the right move. Is Trent Brown even playing right now in Oakland?
Yeah, right tackle, yeah.
Or did he go AWOL?
No, yeah, he's playing. He absolutely freaking flattened the Honey Badger. Was it last week or the week before?
Losing whatever, 60-3, whatever it was?
I mean, but there was
whatever,
one,
it worked,
yeah, one play in particular where he absolutely turned him into freaking a human crepe. He just absolutely freaking flattened
him. Okay, Bill did want to be more of a running team. I think that's been apparent now for the last year plus. He also still went out and signed Antonio Brown. I mean, like, why do people keep, like, Bill did not intend for the top three receivers to be N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, and Philip Dorsett. That was not the intention. They brought back Josh Gordon. He left the rails. They signed Antonio Brown. He started threatening women. So they had to get rid of him. And when that failed, they chased down Mohamed Sanu and overpaid for him. So this narrative that they've purposely left him high and dry is just freaking false. It's false. It is a false narrative.
And there are some other things that have happened during the course of the year that, you know, that I don't hold Bill accountable for. So
you could say these are bad personnel decisions. I'll be with you on that. Hitching your wagon to Josh Gordon, not smart. Hitching your wagon to Antonio Brown, really not smart. The N'Keal Harry draft pick, it doesn't look so hot. Okay? These are bad personnel decisions, but they were not done with the intent to bury Brady. They were done to help Brady. They just didn't work out.
Yeah, I thought they left themselves a little vulnerable at left tackle because Wynn missed the whole year last year, and they didn't have much behind him. And I know some guys were tired on him, but even so.
They still had a first-round pick in the waiting.
Okay, they did, but they needed more depth at left tackle. I'm sorry. What I won't blame them for is center. Andrews went down. Now Karras has gone down. They're on their third center. Andrews was a big loss. Big loss. So I think part of the reason they haven't been able to run the ball is because they don't have Andrews.
Okay, Gasper standing by. Tremendous insight into Brady's thinking. Well, I'm looking forward to that. His thoughts on Patriots Chiefs as Agenda Free Friday continues.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
You're in the final year of your contract. Is it going year to year a possibility, and are you comfortable with that?
I mean, we're all day to day, if you think about it. I mean, none of us are really promised anything. So, I mean, I'm trying to do the best I can do today and, you know, just let those things sort themselves out.
Do you feel like you earned an extension, Tom?
Have I earned it? I don't know. You guys, that's up for talk show debate. What do you guys think? Should we take a poll?
Sure.
All right. Talk to Mr. Kraft. Come on. Mm-hmm. No, we, like I said, we got a great relationship, so. We'll see how it goes.
And we played that a couple times this week because it's just telling. Starts then with the contract in the offseason. Go ask Mr. Kraft, because Mr. Kraft in the past used to be there for Tom Brady and all the quarterback deals. Frankly, he's the one that signed Drew Bledsoe to a $100 million contract in Belichick's first year. People forget this. That contract was fresh. Bill was here when they signed Bledsoe to that contract. That was Robert's deal. And the Garoppolo stuff, Robert had his hands in, obviously. And so when Tom Brady doesn't get his contract last offseason, he says, well, go ask Robert, which is how it's always been done. Now, the narrative coming out of the Brady camp, both on the record and off, is it's Bill, it's Bill, it's Bill. Karen Garishian in the Herald today. It's Bill's decision, says Tom Brady Sr. Nobody really knows. Bill doesn't tip his hand. if Bill says he doesn't want Tommy and Tommy wants to play, well, Joe Montana went to Kansas City. Like, talk about a loaded gun comment there. Like, what a open threat. And I'm so glad we have Christopher Gasper in our studio because he has particular insights into the Brady camp. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
We're doing good.
You the said, man who started it all.
Just okay. You didn't like your commute in here?
No, tough with the snow. Man, snow is this time of day. Forget about it.
This is why you are sponsored by, and maybe you should take up your sponsorship. You are powered by the commuter rail. Don't forget to take the train right to North Station for tonight's Celtics game, for example. And if you're heading to Gillette for Sunday's game, you can hop on board from South Station or Providence Station to Foxborough for just $20 round trip. Get tickets now on the M-Ticket app. So Chris Gasper is powered by the commuter rail. The Wood and the girls are taking in the commuter rail tonight from Fancy Wellesley. We're going to go to the game ourselves, and there the Wood.
Nice.
We're going to throw Mama from the train. She's coming in on the train.
It's a good way to go in and out. I'm not joking.
Absolutely. I love it.
Oh, it's awesome.
Anyway, I'm not even joking. Gasper.
And Chris, you can wear your earmuffs on the train.
No, I take the MBTA. I take the Orange Line of the Garden all the time when I cover games down there.
What is going on with this, really, I think, this push to put it all on Bill?
I mean, this is the way it is now. I mean, I think you've seen it the last two off seasons when Tom has gone and asked for the contract. Last year, they gave him just the $5 million in incentives that he didn't reach. This year, they ended up giving him the $8 million, but they didn't give him additional years. And, you know, I have it on pretty good authority that this is a decision that ultimately will be up to Bill. Bill will make the recommendation. And unless something changes, unless the Crafts decide to go back with Tom and overrule, then what Bill decides will be what the Patriots do.
So if
Tom comes back with a 3-year offer at $33 million per year, so 3 years, $99 million, and says, I want you guys to match this, and Bill says, no, all we're going to give you is 1 year at 24, that's where it goes. That's what it is. And then Tom has to make a decision. What do you want to do?
So, Chris, why the change then? Because the general belief is that Kraft intervened when Garoppolo was here. Kraft has done all of Brady's contracts.
Yep.
Why the change?
I think that's a question that people in the Brady camp would like to know the answer to. I'm not sure anybody really knows the answer to that. I mean, maybe they're just, at the end of the day, with Brady and Belichick, I always thought at some point they would have to choose a horse. And maybe they feel like Bill has more time left than Tom. I think there's a lot of pushback against the idea that there was any influence from ownership into the Jimmy Garoppolo decision. There's a lot of pushback on
that. Sure is.
But I find it hard to believe that there was not. Or at the very least, Bill felt like there was. And so if you do that to him once, all right, and I don't think he was thrilled with it, whether it happened or he perceived it. Well, if you do it to him again, he might just say, I'm out of here. Because I thought I had the control over this stuff. Like, I thought you guys trusted me when it came to the football decision.
Or we've speculated this week that if Bill's really in it here for a longer tenure than we might have thought, he's really chasing Shula. He's got 3, 4, 5 years left.
Sure.
That has to come with some sort of contract extension or some sort of...
Right.
And at that time, Bill says to Robert, okay, I'm in. I want to stay. Let's sign. But you got to promise me this time I make the call on the quarterback. And so...
I don't think it's that overt, but yeah, you might be honest.
I mean, something like that. Like, Robert, do I really have control of the personnel or do I not have control of the personnel?
Do I have control of 52 or 53?
Yeah,
that's the question.
Yeah, like, or at the very least, what are we going to do with Tom? I mean, we're going to have to make a call on Tom. And Robert says,
we'll let you make it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you want to do it, we'll let you do it.
I think that the feeling is from Brady's side that, you know, for years and years and years, right, it was always said, Tom Brady will never finish his career with another team because ownership won't let that happen. And I think that that has sort of changed, right? And it's not, I mean, I don't think ownership wants that to happen, but the idea of it getting to that point and it's like immediately they'll step in and make sure it doesn't happen, that safety net is gone.
See, this is why they gave him that clause. Or they removed the franchise clause.
That's why he asked for that clause.
Okay, no, but the point is just because he asked for it doesn't mean that they
true.
Had to give it.
No, it's true.
Right? So this is why when we talked about it before the season started, I said, I can't decide what's more stunning to me, the fact that he asked for it or the fact that they actually gave it to him. And the reason they gave it to him, because that's their route. You know, Tom wanted this. This is what Tom wanted. Don't look at us. We're not pushing him out the door.
100%. They wanted the franchise tag for so many levels. One, they were never going to pay him that. But it gives them the out.
Absolutely. So again, the win for ownership is that
the PR out.
Right. They positioned themselves well now because it's either Tom wanted to leave or this was Bill's decision. At no point does it ever fall on Kraft. So, like, which, again, I sort of look at and say, well, come on. I mean, you're the owner of the team. Of course it falls on you.
You could make it happen if you wanted.
Right, but they've positioned themselves in such a way, they say, well, look, Tom asked for the clause. He's been here a long time. We felt obligated to give it to him. Or, no, no, Bill controls football matters.
Chris, how do you feel about this? Because I think, you know, retirement is still a leader in the clubhouse. I still go retirement as the most likely option here. But Brady Sr. really makes it sound like, you know, Tommy wants to play. If Bill says he doesn't want Tommy and Tommy wants to play, well, Joe Montana went to Kansas City. Just because Bill decides he wants to move on, that won't dictate Tommy's future. I'm sure there are a few other teams in the league that would want him. Like, I'm sorry, that's a big comment. Like, you imagine Larry Bird's father in his, at the end saying, I'm sure there's other teams that want Larry. Like, that's a big comment. That I don't know if we're getting, you know, like, we'll overplay anything. I don't know if that's getting overplayed enough. That is holding a gun to the team's head right there. So, but anyway, retirement or playing for another team? What do you think is more likely?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I think it's hard to gauge because it's like, it depends on what the situation is. So if it's retirement or quarterbacking the Los Angeles Chargers, I think it's the Los Angeles Chargers. If it's retirement or quarterbacking like the Chicago Bears or something like that, then I think it might be retirement. I think it depends on what the landscape is at the end. You know, I think certainly my guess would be certainly that he still feels like he has something left in the tank and will pursue it if he tries to leverage the Patriots and they say no. Like the example I use, you know, someone offers a 3-year deal and even if the money's not there, you know, that's fine. It's not $33 million, but, you know, hey, can you give me like 3 years, 28? And they're like, no, 1 year, 24. You know, then it becomes a scenario of, well, what does he want to do? And right. And does he have any leverage? Like, can he look at them and say, well, you better give me something because otherwise you're going into the year with Jarrett Stidham. So let's try and can he play the leverage game, which has never really been his specialty?
I just, if there's not a team out there that offers him I think he is so worth 300. I know that sounds crazy.
But well, someone will give that to him.
As long as he's fully invested, you know, not what I'm seeing here, but...
that's a cheap shot.
A little bit, but it's not cheap. I don't think he believes in the people around
him. That doesn't mean you're not invested. You can be invested and say, like, okay, the people around me are limited and bringing me down.
Well, let's argue about that in a second.
It's a fact.
Just here, that for the LA Chargers, for the Vegas Raiders, for the Chicago Bears, for the Miami Dolphins, Brady is so worth 300. It's not even funny, like, because I think he can still play at a really high level, and those teams desperately need that guy. And what are you going to do? So you're going to pay Derek Carr 20, but you won't pay Brady 30. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like,
what did Manning get in Denver?
I don't remember.
And I only raise that because I would say that to me, that's a starting point. Like, I remember, I think Manning got pretty good guaranteed money.
Just go ahead, I'll look it up.
So I just wonder because to me, the more I think about it, Chris, and again, I think.
5-year, $96
million. Okay. I think before the year started, Brady knew one way or another, I'm out of here. This is probably not going to go on beyond this year. I'm either going to play for another team or I'm going to retire. It's going to be one of those two because they've put this in Bill's hands and I can see where it's going. So I at least want the option of going to play somewhere else if that is out there, and then I can make a call then. I'm not sure he knows which one it is yet, but this is why he put his house on the market. In all probability, he looked at it and said, well, the chances of me playing here are small. And at the very least, you know, we're going to be in Greenwich or whatever. And if I have to, I can always get an apartment at the last minute or something like that. But the high probability is that I'm out of New England.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this entire year has sort of had the air. And I think that's what fuels part of the frustration, too, is that if this is the last go round, don't you want to go out with a bang? And if you are going to go into the free agency market, don't you want to be playing the way you were playing at 40 years old when you won the MVP and led the league in passing yards and threw for 505 yards in the Super Bowl? But if you feel like there are restraints on you and you're being put into an offense or a system that doesn't allow you to do that, that's pretty frustrating.
Okay, we'll continue with this conversation, Gasper's thoughts on the Chiefs, and whatever you want, because it is an agenda-free Friday. First, an update from Murray.
Miss something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Tatum.
Over the shoulder pass, Wanamaker into the corner. Jaylen Brown again, three again. And this time he had a little walk-off after he released it.
Chance something to somebody in the corner. How you like me now?
Back-to-back 4 3-pointer games for Jaylen Brown. The lead is back to 13. He's got 24.
Okay, we got Gasper in studio, so I just want a quick Celtics thought from Gasper. It is a gender-free Friday, after all. We'll get back to Brady here in a second. But Jaylen Brown and his big night and his big season so far, really, and how he's sort of popped here this season.
It's been really, really encouraging to see. I mean, you see the improvement in the ball handling, and I feel like his shooting is sort of back to where it was in the playoffs a couple years ago when he went to the Eastern Conference Finals. I've always been a huge fan of his game, and it's a really a no-lose for the Celtics. Either you ride with him and you ride out his development as a potential all-star, or, you know, from Danny's standpoint, sometimes I feel like he looks at it this way. It's like, great, another asset increasing in value that if somebody in the league shakes loose, now Jaylen Brown can be a centerpiece of something like that.
Okay, so let me ask you our questions, which I love.
Okay.
Are you a Carl Anthony Towns guy?
I am.
Okay.
Yes.
So you want Carl Anthony Towns. Minnesota says you can have him, but you have to give us either Brown or Tatum. Mm-hmm. And you're the Celtics. Who do you give him?
Oof, that's tough. Probably Brown.
So you still go Tatum over Brown if you're the Celtics?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way they would do it, too. There's probably more offensive upside there with Tatum. You know, Tatum at the end of the day could be like a top five offensive player in the league.
Isn't he closer to his offensive ceiling, though, than Brown?
Oh, I think so. I agree. I also think, though, that he's more likely to reach that full ceiling than Brown.
Okay, second question.
Yeah.
According to what we believe, that Greg Popovich offered you Kawhi Leonard before he sent him to Toronto, but he wanted Jaylen Brown, and Danny balked. Danny did not want to give up Jaylen Brown for a year of Kawhi Leonard. Should they have done that?
Yes. But that's so easy in hindsight because there were a lot of health.
It?
I would have. Yes, I would
okay,
have. Done.
Well, hindsight's the game we play. But there were, radio.
But it's so easy to look at it now, though, because Kawhi Leonard was such a transcendent player last year and winning the championship. People forget there were questions about whether Kawhi Leonard could make it through an entire season, right? And so I can't really fault Danny for that one. But I mean, at the time, I would have done that deal.
Yeah, I'm a no. I told you, I'm a no. I'm a no. Before I might have been a yes, but the injury concerned me. And now looking back and given where Brown is now, I'm still a no. Like I look at it and say, I'm done with the one night stand thing. I'm done with it. So great, you win a championship and then you're the 2014 Red Sox and you suck eggs. Like, I'm done. I don't want that. I want something more sustainable. I want to be loved, Chris.
But what if Kawhi, the whole season goes differently and Kyrie stays?
So you, with Kyrie, you factor the Kyrie thing
in. Yeah, I'm factoring the Kyrie thing in.
I'm convinced that...
Just the whole equity gained from a championship. And as I say that...
No, I don't do it for the one championship.
Has Toronto gained any equity with their championship?
No.
Are they a destination now?
Not a destination, but I think they really established a culture there that you see that even though he's left, it's like they haven't fallen off the face of the planet. And I don't know, is Siakam the player he is now if he doesn't see, experience being with Kawhi Leonard every day? I don't know that he is.
Yeah, but the Raptors had never won anything. Again, as I said yesterday, the NBA equivalent of the 40-year-old virgin, for crying out loud, the Raptors, they had to sell out and go for the slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, because they'd never been laid. So fine, they bring in Kawhi
it
Leonard.
It all goes back to that with Matt.
I know, like, seriously. Everything is unbelievable. A double entendre with
Matt. So they go in, they get their championship, great, whoop-de-doo, woo-hoo. Now they have to live the reality that they're an adult. So the Celtics are already there. They've been laid 18 times or whatever number it is. I lose track.
Back to it again.
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I would rather... Now, if you're talking Carl Anthony Towns in a multi-year contract, then it's different. Like, but the whole sellout for one title... I'm spoiled by all the winning of Boston. I don't want just the one. I don't want just one more.
Chris, any quick?
I want the run to go on for a long time.
Any quick thoughts on the NBA landscape and as it relates to the Celtics here? Are we quarter of the way through the season, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the East is a little bit deeper than I thought it would be. That was an impressive win for the Celtics over Miami. I know Spoelstra wasn't on the bench, but I like what I've seen. I know you're really down on your Bucks, but I like what I've seen from them. And I think DiVincenzo being another guy, another rotation piece for them. Obviously, Middleton's back. I think the Sixers still have some untapped potential. There's not enough shooting there for Philadelphia. I'll be curious to see if they go out and get a shooter. But I think you look at it as well as the Celtics have played, and you look up, and they're like, you know, the 3 or the 4 seed in the East, as well as they've played this year. And I think all those teams are pretty much bunched together, but I think the road's a little tougher than maybe I anticipated it being in the East.
Okay, you want to weigh in on the Celtics? You can. We'll get back to the Patriots as well with Gasper. Delve into the Brady's relationship with his receivers and how it looks right now and the reasons behind it. Gasper's got a bone to pick, so we'll pick it right after these words.
The real deal.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke's blue.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brady slipping away. Motions downfield. It's incomplete. Jacoby Myers, the rookie, was covered there by Lonnie Johnson. Rookie out of Kentucky, and it's fourth down.
That man coverage was good, and that man right there is getting frustrated because guys are not getting open. Across the board there, I could see all four guys in the route out in man coverage, and nobody was open. But so far, my lasting impression of this game was Tom Brady going off the field that last time.
Oh, baby.
Right?
Oh, baby.
That's what we're talking about here. It has been that way this entire season, and for all the greatness of Tom Brady, he has not been able to crack the code so far with this group of offensive players.
And they're 10-1 in good measure, of course, because that defense has been so suffocating. Special teams ain't bad either.
So that scene on the sidelines there from Sunday night, I think Gasper wrote about it and called it a defining moment of the season or something like that?
Yeah, I said it was one of the defining tableaus of the season.
Okay, tableau.
Yeah. Pictures. Yeah.
Come on, look that up for me, Murray. You got tableau?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm glad you brought this up, actually. The other day, Gasper used the word inchoate in one of his columns. Inchoate. You know what inchoate means?
It's No. Actually inquit.
Whatever. Hey, inquit. So this is my point. Like, if I were your editor, I'd take it out of there just to piss you off.
Well, they do sometimes.
They should.
Yeah.
They should. Who are you writing for?
Me.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Inchoate.
So I'm like Ivan Drago at the end of Rocky IV. You know, I fight for me. I write for me.
So I agree that I think that moment is emblematic of one of the biggest stories on the team, if not the biggest, and that is Brady and his receivers and them not getting on the same page. And here we are in week, whatever this is, 14, and guys can't pick up the audibles. They can't pick up the hand signals. He's pitching a fit on the sidelines. The kids are getting shut out. Blah, you know, like the fact that that's still going on in mid-December, to me, is a huge story. Chris, where do you put the blame for that or assess that? And what do you think it's not about? And now this is the point you want to pick.
So,
what is it not about?
I mean, I would say I'll start with the blame. I mean, I think the blame goes right to the top. And I think that's Bill Belichick. They didn't put the right things around him. There's not enough there. And I think it's really tough to ask a kid like Nikhil. Like, I had this conversation with a Patriots media member the other day. You know, it's not fair to Nikhil Harry. Do you think Nikhil Harry has earned the opportunity and playing time he's getting? Or do you think they look at it and say, this guy's a first-round pick. We need help at this position. Let's see what he can do.
I don't know how he possibly could have earned it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a
There's no
thing.
Way. He's just thrown in there because they need help. And that's not fair to Brady, and that's not fair to him. Now, my nit that I want to pick with you, because you bring this up all the time, the OTAs. Drop the stupid OTAs.
Never.
That's not what the issue is. He showed up for OTAs, all of them, in 2013, when it was Aaron Dobson, Kembrell Tompkins, and Josh Boyce. Where are those guys now? They couldn't play at the end of the day. You know when he didn't show up for OTAs? The offseason after they drafted Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. Really affected those guys. They had terrible careers when they were on the field, right? Because Brady didn't show up. Do you know when Brady showed up for Gronkowski and Hernandez the first time? I think it was a mandatory passing camp. He was asked a question.
Well, that's called an OTA.
He was asked. He showed up for the mandatory passing camp this year.
No. There's a mandatory full team mini camp, usually at the end of June, that he has to show up for, and he does show up for. Then there's the one OTA session, like OTA session 3 or something, that's a passing camp. So that he did. He's always showed up for that. The first time he skipped that was the last couple of years.
So when he showed up for whatever you want to call it, for those two guys, he was asked a question about them. Do you know he couldn't? He didn't know their names. I remember standing there, and he was like, yeah, the two young tight ends. He was not confident in their names, all right? So it's like those guys earned the trust. Randy Moss, yeah, he was around for OTAs. Do you remember how much training camp Randy Moss missed?
Almost all of it.
All of it, pretty much, except for the first day because he tweaked his hamstring. What about Josh Gordon, who showed up last year? How many OTAs did he have with Brady before he was on the team last year?
I don't think it looked good between them until they came back from the bye in November. So I don't think they...
He had the 720 yards receiving and averaged 18 yards a catch.
Yeah, but it didn't look good, and they had to scrap the whole plan with him at the bye week.
So basically what you're saying is if he had gone through OTAs with Brady, he would have caught. He would have had 1,500 yards.
Maybe they would have started that process of figuring out what worked earlier.
Yeah. What about Antonio Brown for the one game? How effective? My point is it's about talent, not stupid OTAs. And well, you bring this up all the time, and it's such a red herring, and it doesn't. If the guys are talented enough, the OTA thing doesn't matter. And even if the guys don't have the talent, Tom could be there. He could be on their side. He could be wearing these guys around his waist like a fanny pack, and it wouldn't make a difference because they can't play.
So I agree with you. It's about talent first. Like, that's obvious. But do you make the best of a bad situation? Can it be better? You know, the degrees of it. And I'd take that 2013 offense over this one. I mean,
really?
So, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty comparable. It's like Julian Edelman and not much else. I mean, Amendola that year was hurt. He had a habit of not practicing when he was hurt, which was irritating the quarterback, and he didn't fully get the offense. So it was like Edelman and the young guys, which is kind of what it is this year. Edelman, that's why if you look at Edelman's numbers, he's on track for like all these career highs. And like the last time he was on track for a lot of that stuff was 2013. And Chris, it's because they had nowhere else to go.
It obviously starts with the talent. Like, you've never heard me say that the April practice is more important than a good player. Of course, give me a good player. Like, that's sort of obvious. You'll never get me to say that it's okay for a starting quarterback, to miss a passing camp. It's just, that is not just a bad look. It's a bad for the operation. It's a dysfunctional sign. 31 of the other quarterbacks showed up, and they show up every year. Brady was the only one that didn't. That is just...
And it's worked so well for Andy Dalton. It's made a huge difference for the Bengals.
So, I mean, we can argue about it if you want. I mean, I'm never going to change my mind
on that. No, that's fine. I understand. I'm not saying you should endorse him not showing up, but I think the degree to which you discuss it as being part of the problem this year is disingenuous, because it's not. That's not the issue.
Disingenuous is the wrong word. I'm totally genuine about how I feel about it.
But I'm saying,
you may say I'm wrong.
I'm saying your portrayal of it as being a significant part of the problem, or if Tom has a problem with what's around him, then he should have shown up for OTAs because then it would be different. I just think that's false. I just think that's a false narrative.
It's maybe wrong, but it's not disingenuous. I feel that it's part of the story. I think he loses the moral high ground, especially with the young players, that they're not where they're supposed to be when he blows off a big chance to work with them in the offseason. I think he loses the moral high ground on that. It's a bad look, and it hasn't helped.
I know. You work with Dobson and Boyce and Tompkins, and how did that go?
I don't know. Maybe
they couldn't
it helped.
Play.
Maybe it helped.
I mean, what was Tompkins?
Tompkins was all right.
He was an undrafted. Here's the thing that always happens.
Was he better than Harry?
He was the best they had at the time. And it's the same thing. And I've seen this with like Gary Guyton, who I love covering. Great guy. It's like, what a find. What a gem for the Patriots. Sometimes it is. Malcolm Butler, Jonathan Jones. Sometimes those are real gems. Sometimes you have a Kembrell Tompkins or a Gary Guyton, and it's like, you know what? You know why that guy was playing? You know why he was starting? It was the best they had at the time. This is what this year is. This is the best they have at the time. That's all it is.
Okay, so it obviously starts with the personnel, and it starts with the players around Brady. I don't deny that. I can't leave out the other pieces to it. And it's also a part, it also plays into me with the future of Brady and the investment there. And that's sort of what we hit on earlier. It's like, why am I going to bring back Brady at $30 million a year when he doesn't believe in the players he's surrounded by? He won't trust the players he's surrounded by. He won't even come and work with the players in the offseason. If I'm going to spend that kind of money, I want a guy that's going to invest fully in the program and be there first one in, last one out, that whole thing. And I don't think that's unreasonable for a team to want. If the LA Chargers, I said there should be teams that go out and offer Brady this money. I believe it. But it comes with, Tom, you're going to come here for the passing camp and work with these guys, right? Like, we're not going to pay you $30 million a year just to have you waltz in the first day of training camp for the weigh-in or whatever. Like, no, there's got to, you have to be the
He goes to the mandatory camp in June.
Okay.
It's not like they just met. You make it sound like, Jacoby Myers showed up for training camp and was like, hey, Tom, nice to meet you. I'm Jacoby Myers. Like, he knows who the guy is. He's run routes with him, worked with him before. I think you're just wildly overrating this. It's easy to do in a year where the offense isn't clicking. I mean, honestly, I would have more respect if you were to say, like,
I did it last year.
Hey, like, you did. I know. This is one of your, like, this is a Felger and Maz go-to. I get it. This is play the hits.
Felger go-to.
But I would have, like, more respect if you were like, hey, you know what? He's in a little bit of self-preservation mode, or he doesn't hang in the pocket as long, or he's getting rid of the ball. That I could say, okay, that's sort of Tom's contribution to the offensive issues. But this OTA thing just drives me insane because I think it's a complete red herring.
Okay, it's a piece of the picture. And I called him up for the things that he did wrong the other night. But I don't think the physical decline's really been there.
Neither do I. But, I mean, you know, there's a little bit. I mean, I don't think...
A tiny.
You
know. But to me, the bigger story is that he can't get on the same page with his receivers. And that's crazy. And even Philip Dorsett, who's been in the league for a while, doesn't know that, you know, the little gun sign or whatever is a hitch and go. That to me is the story because... As lacking in talent as they are, there were plays there to be made if the receivers were... I mean...
I agree.
Dorsett was wide open in the back of the end zone, and whether he squatted the route when he shouldn't have or Brady missed him, whichever it is, that play was there. That should have been six. And there were other plays there that were just missed either by Brady or the receivers. And that, to me, is the story that they can't get on the same page. And him skipping the offseason, I don't know how that helps the story.
It doesn't help it, but I don't really think that's the issue. I think that there are talented guys with a high football IQ and experience in the league. The problem with the Patriots is, like, for them, you know, this offense is obviously a little different, and it's doubly tough when you're trying to find out, number one, is this guy capable of playing receiver in the NFL overall? We don't know that about Harry. We don't know that about Myers overall. And then number two, can they fit in our system? Because we've seen guys, the Donald Hayes, the Joey Galloways, who played in the NFL and were productive but can't be productive here. Chad Ochocinco. So it's doubly tough to figure those things out sort of on the fly. It's hard to make Tom Brady look this bad, man. It's really hard. And they've done... I wrote this in the column. The Patriots have held down a lot of quarterbacks this year and made them look bad. But the best job in the league of making a quarterback look bad is actually the Patriots offense, because it's real hard to make Brady look this bad.
It's just a little dysfunctional. It just is. And I can see both sides saying, you know, the team saying, well, why are we going to bring you back on that contract if this is how it's going to look? And Brady's saying, well, why am I going to invest here when you're not investing in me and this is what I'm surrounded by and I got more to give and you're not letting me give it? So, like, I can see both sides saying that it's not working. Yeah. And as I say it's not working, I think they're going to go 14-2 and go to the Super Bowl.
I know, it's amazing.
I honestly still feel that way.
Yeah.
I do.
I have my doubts about the Super Bowl. I do. I have my doubts. There's another element to this story that I would like to address with Gasper.
Then let's pick that up on the other side. We'll update Christmas in the City and that auction as well. You have an hour left to bid on the items. An hour left at ChristmasInTheCity.org and 98.5, ChristmasInTheCity.org and 98.5thesportshub.com. I'll update you on that. We'll continue this conversation with Gasper. But first, an update. There are no commercials.